Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Ches Jenkins.
He argued that he's still underfunded. So we gave an additional, $14,000 to his facility.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county's fire departments got a financial boost as part of the 2017-2018 fiscal budget.
Governor Matt Bevin announced a multi-million dollar mystery project coming to Eastern Kentucky.
And a Kentucky group is taking its plan for clean energy to the Capitol.
In sports, the Cincinnati Reds have a rubber match with the Orioles at Great American Ballpark tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy and rainy tonight with lows around 62. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First up this afternoon, untreated sewage from more than two dozen sources in New Boston is being discharged into the Ohio River. That's according to information posted to the Village of New Boston's website. MSPR's Dan Conti reports.
Village Administrator Steve Hamilton says the sewage is coming from 29 structures, including commercial, retail, and industrial properties and apartment buildings. He says the discharges were discovered during a sewer improvement project. The problem is reportedly linked to a sanitary sewer lateral that connects to a sewer on Stanton Avenue, which in turn is connected to a West Avenue sewer that discharges into the Ohio River. Hamilton says the problem has been reported to local, state, and federal health authorities. Short and long-term solutions are now being developed, but Hamilton points out they could take several weeks to implement. Citizens several miles downstream of New Boston are being urged to avoid contact with the river. Hamilton says drinking water intakes further down the waterway should not be impacted. The next closest intake is in Maysville. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Dan Conti.
A California-based company has announced plans to open a new carbon finishing plant in Ironton and employ about 200 people. Green Envirotech Holdings says it will construct up to three buildings spanning more than 170,000 square feet to support the operation. The firm's CEO, Chris Bauer, says work will begin soon at the former Dow at the Foam site. Lawrence County Economic Development Director Bill Dingus says American Electric Power and the state of Ohio are contributing funds to establish the infrastructure needed to fully utilize the Ironton location.
The city of Maysville sold its conference center during a public auction last night. Mayor David Cartmell says the building was sold to a local man who is already renting it for his catering business. His winning bid was for $135,000, well below the property's appraised value of $225,000. Even so, Mayor David Cartmell says the city officials aren't disappointed by that, since the sealed bids that they'd received earlier for the conference center had come in well below its final sale price.
So anything above the 100, actually, the bidding went absolute after 75,000, which is the last live bid we had. So we were tickled to get, the 135 out of, but we're mostly tickled to have somebody in the building full time, having another entertainment venue.
By selling the property, Cartmell says Maysville will also no longer have to spend $20,000 a year for the utilities and upkeep of the conference center.
Modern Laundry and Dry Cleaning in Maysville is closed due to a fire that occurred Tuesday night. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports the blaze started around 8 p.m. on the first floor of the laundromat building and was quickly extinguished. Maysville Fire Chief Kevin Doyle says the fire was in a laundry cart containing towels and rugs. The manager of Modern Laundry, Susie Shoemaker, says smoke from the fire spread through the building and steps to clean all customer garments are being taken. There were no serious damage to the building or to any garments. The business is slated to open back up to the public tomorrow.
A Fayetteville man indicted on charges of illegal use of a minor in nudity-oriented material and child endangerment has been sentenced to over 17 years in prison. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports 37-year-old Joseph Fisher was arraigned in March on 35 counts of nudity material charges and 29 counts of pandering sexually-oriented material involving a minor. He entered a guilty plea on April 13th to one count of each of the charges. Judge Scott Gusweiler sentenced Fisher to a total of 17 years and 6 months in prison.
A former Manchester police officer is behind bars after allegedly violating the conditions of his bond. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Joshua Hayes was indicted on March 30 for illegal use of police computer systems. Hayes is accused of doing background checks on himself, friends, and people not related to any investigation. He was released on a $50,000 bond after his April 12th arraignment. According to the Adam County Sheriff's Office, Hayes had an early afternoon curfew as part of his bond, which he violated by going to an ex-girlfriend's home after the curfew time. He was arrested Tuesday and lodged in the Adams County Detention Center. He is now charged with two counts of contempt of court.
The family of a Kentucky teen who died while in custody at a youth detention facility is seeking more than $25 million in damages. Suzanne Duvall reports.
The family of Janiah McMillan filed a federal lawsuit following the 16-year-old's death. She died last year at the Lincoln Village Regional Detention Center in Elizabethtown. The coroner blamed her death on a sudden cardiac arrhythmia. Family members believe something could have been done to save her life. McMillan's family is seeking $27 million in damages from the state. Two former state workers are facing official misconduct charges in connection to the case. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Although lawmakers have repeatedly rejected legislation to eliminate the death penalty, the Kentucky Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty has not given up. In an effort to spread their message, they will be setting up a booth at the Hillbilly Days Festival this weekend in Pikeville. Rob Music works as a chaplain at the University of Pikeville and volunteers with the KCADP. He says arguments in favor of the death penalty don't seem to hold water.
Where we have such gun crimes and mass shootings, if that really were working, wouldn't we see so much less crime?
It's been 8.5 years since the last execution in Kentucky.
Republican House Speaker Jeff Hoover has appointed a task force of lawmakers to study how to improve Kentucky's adoption and foster care system. The bipartisan committee will be led by Democratic State Representative Joni Jenkins of Louisville and Republican Caucus Chairman David Meade of Stanford. Hoover has asked the committee to have a final report by December 1st. Specifically, the committee will be looking at how to shorten the adoption process and make it less expensive.
With work underway to update the facility's electrical system, the group refurbishing Rowan County's old jail so that it can become an art studio is already plotting the next step in that process. Gary Lewis is the spokesman for the Rowan Historical Society. Lewis says they want to install two new heating and cooling units in the 80-year-old facility. He says the cost in the neighborhood of $5,000 apiece to replace, plus installation, which is money the society doesn't have.
We're in process of getting estimates and hey, it'll take a whole lot of playing in the road, you know, doing our bucket brigades and hopefully some grants. And, you know, last year the city helped us out with they put us in their budget. They put us in for $1,000. So, you know, it's pretty good.
Lewis says updating the building's electrical system will drain the rest of the Historical Society's bank account. The old jail is located on the backside of the courthouse square in downtown Moorhead.
The building of a mini-satellite known as a CubeSat at Moorhead State University is launching, and it's launching into space this week from Florida is just a continuation of ongoing research at MSU's Space Science Center. Dr. Ben Malfers heads the program. He says students will follow the satellite from MSU's ground station as it orbits the Earth and tally data from it.
The satellite will be in a 90-minute orbit, so it'll orbit the Earth. We'll get to see it maybe three or four times a day. And when it passes over, students will sit at the Mission Operations Center at the console and track the satellite, command the dish to track the satellite.
Malfers says students will also be sending commands to operate the satellite and analyzing its telemetry.
During his visit to Ashland Wednesday, Governor Matt Bevin discussed the mystery project coming to Eastern Kentucky. MSPR's Xavier Adkins reports.
According to the Daily Independent, Bevin was hesitant to discuss further details about a reported multi-million-dollar economic development project in the region. During the last month of the 2017 legislative session, the Bevin administration's request to lawmakers for up to $50 million in bonds for the unnamed project was approved. State officials believe the effort could potentially attract a company that will invest $1.3 billion in the region and mean 500 full-time jobs. There would also be 1,000 temporary construction jobs created. Bevin noted another state is trying to lure the company to its area, but said it's leaning towards coming to Eastern Kentucky. The governor added that if the project happens, the company will make it clear that the only reason it's coming to the area is because of the Commonwealth's new right-to-work law. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I am Xavier Atkins.
Ashland's Little League baseball season opened last weekend, and the city's Parks and Recreation Director says the community's ball fields are in their best shape in more than a decade. Sean Murray says city crews took advantage of a mild winter to get the diamonds in tip-top condition.
For this time of year, because of the early spring, we were able to get out pretty early and work on the ball fields. And then actually what we did going into the fall is typically we'll run right up to December playing on a lot of them, where we were able to shut down a couple of the ball fields, in particular Central Park Baseball Field number 1, Ernie Chatton Field there. And what we did was got in and resodded it in the fall.
And Murray says that seeding took root and is now sprouting thick and full grass.
Rowan County's proposed 2017 to 2018 budget includes more money for its volunteer fire departments. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the Hayes Crossing, Route 377, Elliottville, and Farmers Fire Departments will all be receiving $11,000 more in the next fiscal year, which starts July 1st. Blevins adds that, at the request of Magistrate and Farmers Chief Daryl Glover, his department will get an extra $14,000 because it's operating two facilities.
You've got Lower Farmers, which is the down toward the lake, and you've got the Upper, which is owned Upper Farmers, which is owned by the county owns that building. We pay the utilities out of that building, but for some reason, when they did that, they did not give them the same funding. And Daryl argued that he's going to have the funding if he's going to continue to be able to be a good fire department.
The Rowan Fiscal Court has given initial approval to the county's $12.5 million budget for 2017 to 2018. The plan is expected to receive final passage at the court's May meeting.
Kentuckians for the Commonwealth is taking its plans for renewable and cheaper energy to Washington and Frankfort. KFTC spokesman Chris Woolery says the steps the environmental organization is calling for in its new Empower Kentucky proposal will be discussed with federal lawmakers in the nation's capital next week. He says 4 busloads of Kentuckians will be making the trip to Washington to take part next week in the People's Climate Movement, which concludes with a march on Saturday. Woolery says the group will also share its ideas with Kentucky's Energy and Environment Cabinet Secretary and other officials at the state and local level soon as well.
We're going to meet with Secretary Snavely and the staff and brief them on these important recommendations and all the analysis and the work behind it. We're going to offer trainings in May and June and help Kentuckians prepare for local meetings with public officials, including local mayors, city council members, legislators about this plan.
KFTC released its Empower Kentucky plan Wednesday. It calls for the acceleration of energy-efficient and renewable energy programs, a reduction of 40% in CO2 pollution over the next 15 years, and investments of nearly $400 million in transition programs for coal workers and communities.
Lawrence County is in line for a spring cleaning. The Lawrence Scioto Solid Waste District is hosting its 9th annual County Cleanup Day at 9 a.m. on Saturday, May 6th. Director Dan Palmer says last year's 736 volunteers collected 961 bags of litter and trash collected, as well as 62 roll-off containers totaling 372 tons of garbage. Palmer says that those interested in volunteering should contact his office to get information and fill out the necessary paperwork. The form helps make certain the district has enough supplies for all of the volunteers.
Yes, matter of fact, some supplies were delivered to us yesterday. Niagara Water, who is part of the Great American Cleanup, which we are part of with Keep America Beautiful, and under Keep Ohio Beautiful, they delivered us quite a bit of supplies yesterday, a lot of water, cases of water, and a lot of bags. So we're well stocked for this year.
The number to contact for the Lawrence Scioto Solid Waste District is 740-532-1231.
The Highlands Museum and Discovery Center is teaming up this summer with the Boyd County Cooperative Extension Service to present a program on healthy eating. Emily Rausch is education coordinator at the Ashland facility.
One day in July, we're partnering with the Boyd County Extension Office to do a special healthy snack program for kids. So we're excited about that. That will be free with the cost of admission into the museum.
Rausch says she's also working on some new programs for school groups that will begin this fall.
Looking at the weather tonight, variable clouds with scattered thunderstorms, low of 62 degrees, chance of rain 50%. Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late, high of 68 degrees, chance of rain 50%. Friday night, rain showers in the evening will evolve into a more steady rain overnight, low around 50 degrees, chance of rain 70%. Saturday, rain likely, thunder possible, high of 53 degrees, chance of rain 100%. Looking at the area listening temperatures, Ashland 83 degrees, Flemingsburg 81 degrees, Inez and Lexington 82 degrees, Winchester 81 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's 81 degrees.
It's 4:45. This is Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, Carter Caves State Resort Park is hosting its annual wildflower pilgrimage this weekend. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
The pilgrimage consists of a series of hikes designed to get people outdoors to appreciate the beauty of nature. Kelly Minnick is a spokeswoman for Carter Caves State Resort Park.
The Wildflower Pilgrimage basically is a series of hikes and other programs to get people out into our park and nature and observe the wildflowers that are in bloom in our area right now. I know we have hikes focusing on seeing wildflowers, hikes focusing on kind of maybe the nightlife of plants or the medicinal and edible uses of plants.
Minnick explains that there will be multiple events offered at the pilgrimage. In addition to the wildflower hike, there will be educational hikes to view other plants as well. They will be geared toward learning about medicinal uses for the plants.
Some of the benefits would include gaining a better knowledge of wildflowers that bloom here in our area and some of the ancient and maybe herbalist uses of these plants. We're not giving any hikes that would, certify you in being able to use those for a medicinal purpose, but just some general knowledge.
In addition to that, Minnick says retired naturalists John Tierney and Dan Summers will be leading two of the hikes. She mentions that there will be hikes geared toward uses for plants other than aesthetic or medicinal purposes, too.
We also have some programs based on other uses for plants. Like I know Matt Maley will be leading a hike called Plants and Other Natural Materials Used by Native People to Make Cord, Rope, Baskets, Footwear, Shelters, and Garments. And so that's a completely different aspect to the programs we're offering this weekend as well.
The goal of the hikes, she says, is to reach out to visitors.
We realized we had a segment of people that we weren't really reaching, people who were interested in wildflowers and their benefits and some things that you could do with these medicinal herbs. And so we just decided to devote an entire weekend to these people. And also, it is a very, very great chance to show off the natural beauty of the park.
The event will take place on Friday, April 21st, and Saturday, April 22nd. The hikes and all of the events for the weekend will be free this year. A hot dog lunch will be provided by the Friends of Carter Caves at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. For more information regarding the event, call 606-286-4411 or visit parks.ky.gov. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
The time is 4:48. Braxton has sports coming up next. He's on in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds host Baltimore tonight at 7:10 in the rubber game of their three-game series at Great American Ballpark. Behind veteran Ubaldo Jimenez, the Orioles won last night's contest 2-0. The right-hander outdueled Reds rookie Amir Garrett, who saw his record fall to 2-1 despite striking out 12 and giving up just 2 runs on 7 hits in 7 innings. Manager Brian Price says the 23-year-old lefty continues to be impressive.
He's been very, very consistent. And he's been able to throw all three pitches over the plate. He's not getting in trouble with base on balls or pitching behind in the count. He's not having to dig himself out of bad counts. He's being quick to the plate. He's working fast. You know, it seems like some of the fastest games we play are when Amir's on the mound. And there's nobody that he fears when they get in the batter's box.
Scott Feldman takes his 1-1 record to the mound tonight for the Reds. Lefty Wade Miley takes the ball for the Orioles. Some afternoon games from around Major League Baseball today. Boston beat Toronto 4-1 in 10 innings. Tampa Bay blew out Detroit 8-1. Cleveland beat Minnesota 6-2. And the Astros lead the Angels 2-1, currently in the ninth inning. The Morehead State baseball team starts a three-game OVC Road Series tomorrow evening. At 11-4 in league action, Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles will be down in Clarksville to face Austin Peay.
Well, Austin Peay's, despite their record, are a good club. They played a good schedule, and you know, they're 8-10 in the league, but I think they, if you look at who they played in the league, I think they've played as hard a schedule in the league conference-wise.
The MSU baseball team will be putting their four-game winning streak on the line when they face the Governors. The Morehead State softball team is preparing for a few weekend OVC road games. Coach David Williams' Eagles will play a doubleheader Saturday at Southeast Missouri and then two more games Sunday at UT Martin.
You know, definitely we want to go out. Ideally, we want to win all four. But the conference is really tough this year. It's really tough. It's kind of a unique year for the Ohio Valley Conference. Our conference as a whole is doing extremely well. We were just talking about RPI, and there's five teams in our conference sitting in the top 100 right now, which has never happened.
The MSU softball team will be out to improve on its 4-8 record in conference. The University of Louisville is meeting with the NCAA today. MSPR's Holly McClurkin reports.
The NCAA Committee on Infractions will be meeting with Louisville representatives today. Rick Pitino, Tom Jurich, Interim President Greg Postal, and former grad assistant Brandon Williams will be there on behalf of U of L. Charges arose when a book was published by Katina Powell saying former U of L Director of Basketball Operations Andre McGee hired escorts to entertain recruits. As a result, U of L has been charged with four Level 1 violations. Pitino has been charged for failing to monitor McGee, and Williams has been charged with failure to cooperate with the investigation. Following the hearing, the NCAA will decide if any further sanctions are needed. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Holly McClurkin.
Harlan County's Trace Spurlock has committed to Morehead State as a walk-on for next season. The 6'5" shooting guard averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds a game last season for the Black Bears. In some other recruiting news, West Carter's Hayden Rowe has committed to Berea College. Rowe averaged 22 points and 11 rebounds for the Comets last season. And Round County's Allison Callahan has committed to Midway University. Callahan averaged 20 points and 5 rebounds a game last season for the Lady Vikings. The Morehead State football team is wrapping up its spring practices this week. Coach Rob Tenier says the Eagles have gotten a lot of important work done over the past few weeks.
I'm really excited about the strides that we've made and the new schematics that we've implemented, and I think it really fits our personnel. And so it's not been wholesale changes, but it's been, you know, things we want to tweak, things we want to get better at based on what we're going to see within our conference. And so I've been really excited about the progress we've made, and I know we've got a lot of work to do in the preseason yet, but I think it's been a really, really good spring for us.
The MSU football team will close out its spring practices on Saturday at 1 p.m. at Jane Stadium with its annual blue-white inter-squad scrimmage. The Cincinnati Bengals are going through their voluntary offseason workouts at Paul Brown Stadium. With veteran tackle Andrew Whitworth not re-signed by the club in the offseason, veteran quarterback Andy Dalton says he's now in position to take charge of the Bengals' offense.
Maybe early on, he was like he was the leader of the offense, but I think as time went on, you know, I feel like I kind of was taking over that role, and he was obviously a big part of it just because, I mean, he'd been here for forever, and he knew everything that was going on. But, you know, I feel like I'm in a good position where, you know, to lead this team, and I think there's a role that needs to be filled by some of these other guys, and guys are going to have to step up and try to fill that.
Dalton is headed into his seventh season with the Bengals. And finally in sports, a Kentucky Derby winning trainer has died. Will Clark has more.
Lily T on the out.
Lynn Whiting saddled 1992 Kentucky Derby winner Lily T. It was the only Derby victory for both Whiting and Hall of Fame jockey Pat Day. The trainer was 16th on the all-time wins list at Churchill Downs with 319 victories. Lynn Whiting recently suffered a stroke. He was 77 years old.
Lily T wins the Derby.
I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football's spring football game is set for Saturday, April 22nd. The tailgate area opens at 11 o'clock a.m. with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Former Morehead State football players who received Pioneer League honors will be recognized at halftime. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-23886, or online at msueagles.com. Hilliard.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose as more companies released quarterly results, while Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the administration was, quote, close to major tax reform. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 174.22 at 20,578.71. The S&P 500 was up 17.67, finishing at 2355.84, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 53.74 to finish at 5916.78. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Mnuchin, who this week backed off of his earlier goal of passing tax reform by August, said the White House will unveil a tax plan very soon. And this generated certainly a lot of excitement in the markets. In corporate news, earnings, of course, continue to be the focus. And American Express last night reported much better than expected first quarter earnings, which was lifted in part by higher spending numbers from card members. And the stock today was up almost 6%. Verizon, another member of the Dow Industrials, missed the mark on both earnings and revenue. The company attributed a 5.1% drop in revenue to decreased overage revenue, as well as lower postpaid customers in the quarter and continued promotional activity. And Verizon was down 1.1%. Railway company CSX posted better-than-expected results and said it expects profit to jump 25% this year. The stock rose more than 5% to lead the Dow Transports, which themselves were up 1.5%. As of today, 79% of the 82 S&P, or I should say 79% of all S&P 500 components that have reported results have actually topped earnings per share estimates, while 70% have topped sales expectations. Financials, industrials, and materials were your strongest performers today, as all three groups were up more than 1% to lead all advancing S&P sectors. U.S. crude oil prices slipped 17 cents to settle at $50.27 a barrel. WTI fell nearly 4% yesterday after the EIA released bearish supply data for the market. Among your Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were American Express and Caterpillar. The worst performers were Travelers and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Alliance Data Systems and Quest Diagnostics, and the worst performers were United Rentals and Danaher. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.08 at $125.50, CSX up $2.65 at $49.58, AEP down 30 cents at $67.44, AK Steel up 54 cents at $6.82, Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at $48.53, and Anthem was up $1.25, finishing at $168.04. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor, no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Looking at the weather tonight, variable clouds with scattered thunderstorms, low of 62 degrees, chance of rain 50%. Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late, high of 68 degrees, chance of rain 50%. Friday night, rain showers in the evening will evolve into a more steady rain overnight, low around 50 degrees, chance of rain 70%. Saturday, rain likely, thunder possible, high of 53 degrees, chance of rain 100%. Saturday night, cloudy with showers, low of 47 degrees, chance of rain 60%. Sunday, cloudy with showers, high of 61 degrees, chance of rain 40%. Sunday night, partly cloudy skies, lows around 46 degrees. Monday, sunny skies, high around 70 degrees. Monday night, clear to partly cloudy, low of 49 degrees. Tuesday, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 77 degrees. And on Tuesday night, partly cloudy skies early, followed by increasing clouds, with the showers developing later at night, low of 57 degrees, chance of rain 50%.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, and Victoria Agee. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.